Hello, this is Gary the Bullfrog Baker, and you're listening to The Cesspool.
All right, welcome in for this episode today. I have with me the master of submissions, John Stradamus, the expert in the queer naked choke, and the fat man on fighting. I got John Sprague with me.
How you doing there, everybody?
Getting to the UFC talk. Almeida Garbrandt card. And this was another one. Me and John bet on all of them, and it's another card that John dropped in the end. John Stradamus not doing so well. So on the Fight Pass card, which the Fight Pass, they're slowly building up. And honestly, the Alvarez, the Eddie Alvarez Dos Anjos is their real big push. And if that keeps happening, and if it was every other month, people are going to buy the Fight Pass. But, you know, it's still one of those things, like, are you going to get your tablet out or your phone out? Because it just doesn't beat TV. So I get that you want the subscribers, but, you know, you're going to be watching on, you know, a tablet or a phone, and it's just not the same. Are you going to...
But your Google subscribers can get it on the TV.
Well, yeah, and there's Apple TV and smart TVs and stuff like that.
And stuff like that. But I've got a computer hooked up to my TV all the time.
Yeah. It's just at the moment, but it's still not to that point where it's like, hey guys, come over.
Frankie Edgar.
I'm going to get my Fire Stick or, you know what I mean? It's just not to that point yet. Right. Like, I got my Fire Stick. Come on, boys.
Let me stick it in my come little on, Gary. USB drive.
Right. And we'll have a good time.
But, I mean, I don't want to see Brian Tate fight.
Oh, on Fight Pass.
Caraway.
Well, and we'll get into it. But immediately, Hot Chocolate Award of the Night goes to Aljamain Sterling for dropping the split decision to Caraway and then promptly showing up on our TVs as an analyst.
An analyst.
Because, you know what? No one expected him to lose to him, and this was his big push. He just re-signed with him.
He got a brand new haircut. You see that fade? That half fade he's got going on?
Yeah. And he just lost to a guy that has 9 fans. Caraway might have 9 fans. Right. Until he hits the title, and then everyone will go nuts because they were always Caraway fans.
I was hiding it.
My hot chocolate award is to you, Aljamain Sterling.
Drink up.
For maybe you bounce back from this, but for right now, that's a crippling loss.
Right now.
And
pass the marshmallows.
But at least you get to talk about winners when you go to Fox. So he loses by split decision. You go to the preliminary card.
He gets to sit in Dominic Cruz's chair.
For now. Keep it warm. Because Cruz isn't hurt. He's fine. He'll go. He's got plantar fasciitis.
That means a sore foot.
But I can't say analysis, but plantar fasciitis, I'll just bang out. So
I don't have teeth.
We go to the prelim card. Eric Koch defeats Shane Campbell by rear naked choke. No thoughts. This fight, Jake Collier, TKO, knee and body kick, defeats Alberto Uda. Both you guys suck. That fight sucked. Your technique sucked. And guess what? John picked the loser, so I'm cool with it. But you guys suck.
They were terrible.
That fight was piss poor. And then the guy that hits him with the kick to the body, the knee, whatever, has the gall to act like that was something. So that fight sucked. I won the bet, so I don't care, but the fight sucked. Abel Trujillo.
Trujillo? Yeah.
Sorry, I'm Wyatt. Defeats Jordan Rinaldi. Decision. Wasn't anything going on. I think Trujillo started off hot and then kind of just, it was
that,
one of those.
That prelim card and that thing, the whole prelim card was garbage.
Hard to watch.
Yeah.
And since we started this podcast, especially for me, maybe you watched them in their entirety, but I was a fast forward queen. I was like, man, this fight's going to be 13 seconds long.
I would literally watch it from the end of the fight to from the tail of the tape to the end of the fight, then fast forward it to the tail of the tape.
Right.
Because I don't care what any of them have to say.
So since we started the podcast and we started the betting, we do pay attention, and sometimes that is not the way to go.
It's sometimes hard to keep them eyes open.
The main fight of the prelims, Sarah McMahon defeats Jessica I.
That could have been a hot chocolate award there.
Yeah, and that's unanimous.
Yeah.
Yeah. But here's the thing, and I'm not trying to be negative to the women this week, but man.
That's 15 minutes of my life I'm never getting back.
It's, you know, and I get that people love, like, women's pro wrestling. They love women's fighting. You know, they're giving it a shot. God bless Amelia Earhart for giving it a shot, but I don't care. Like, if it's not a good fight, I don't care. I will be the first to tell you with the Jake Collier, don't ever fight again, Jake Collier. But you either, Sarah McMahon. Jake Collier should get a sex change and fight Sarah McMahon.
Fallon Fox.
Then, as the ref, then I'll watch. Maybe. Main card.
Don't put Fred Dean, Herb Dean out of a damn job.
Fred Dean. Fred. Who names a black kid Herb?
Or back in the day, it was Pot.
Sorry, John lost his mind when I brought up black rights on named your kid Herb.
Herb is short for Herbalia.
So, what you were saying is, why do I hate lightweight fighters and women fighters?
Yeah. Is because you don't feel threatened by anything they bring to the table. It's like Andre the Giant and seven midgets.
Andre the Giant would say to me.
He's never in danger. You can fight the top seven fighters in the 105-pound men and or women's division, and it'd be like being attacked by a
sport. I'd swear to God, Demetrius Johnson, I'd swipe your EBT card if you wanted me to. I will fuck you up, son. And plus,
pound for pound.
But you know what? He was the only guy when I paid $515 fucking dollars for a ticket
who showed
that
up.
would finish anybody.
Fighting to not lose is going to be the end of the UFC.
And then, yeah, it will be. Because, well, and, you know, even like last night, we'll get into it later in the show. UFC, man, I wish Bellator would just man up and try to make it a little less a monopoly, because they could. They've got billions of dollars behind them. Mm-hmm. So.
With Reebok making everybody change their tattoos to Reebok tattoos, in the UFC, pretty soon, Bellator is going to have some good fighters.
Underwear? Socks? Come on. But after Demetrius Johnson beat Cejudo, like, all the Mexican flags were at half mass in that arena that we were at.
And the penises.
And no flaccid flags.
Except for the guy in front of us.
Okay. So let me get this. Let me get my notes back out since our mishap.
Throwing shit.
Main card, Paul Felder defeats Josh, why am I still fighting, Berkman. Decision, and neither guy did anything.
The people's warrior, probably the people's haberdasher. That dude did nothing.
He's a warrior.
I never seen anybody get hit so many times.
Welterweight, Lorenz Larkin defeats Jorge Masvidal, split decision. Could actually win anyway. That wasn't a bad fight. But the thing is with Masvidal, he's not a killer whatsoever. He'll hit you. Even if you're stunned, he'll still be bobbing and weaving and, like, you know, going about his shit.
Like he's about to get hit.
Like, I think he fights like he's fighting a fucking punching bag. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I'm going to get these combos in. Oh, good shit. All right, I'm going to get some more combos in. He's not going to stop you or anything like that. And Lorenz Larkin, cool fucking haircut, bro. You know, that's what I watch for. Sterling and him, Shane Barber, fucking cool.
They should sign their work.
But you know what's sad? When I look down all these results and I just see, and this is dead serious, So submission, TKO, decision.
I don't want to lose. I can't take a loss on my record, so I'm not going to take any chances.
Yeah, Uncle Dana will fucking release me.
Yeah.
If I lose. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to win the first round.
And try to hold you down for two rounds.
Or
stay away.
If I win the first 2 minutes of a round, I'm getting the hell out of there.
Oh.
I'm just
score a takedown with 10 seconds left, and that's the end of it.
And that's why, I mean, not Rockhold. He really.
Okay. No, that dude showed up.
Chris Camozzi, Vitor Miranda. We didn't watch it, so I can't.
No.
It was a decision. You said you saw maybe like a.
Like a minute of it, but it looked like Camozzi had just taken his back.
Yeah.
And then it was my turn to throw darts, so I went and threw darts.
Which is probably the right thing to do.
It was the correct procedure.
Rick Story defeats Tarek Saffiedine by unanimous decision.
This is
we watched it, but I don't think we cared.
This was not the Tarek Saffiedine of a few years ago.
Which people are high on Saffiedine. They said he had good power on his shots and good kicks.
Rick Story did what he had to do to win.
And that leads us to the... Are we entertainers? Or are we? And that is another thing is... You can't even make a lot of money or a career off entertaining anymore because if you drop two fights, you're looking out.
Yeah, you're back in the restaurant.
I would rather watch a guy that's going to go balls to. That's why I make all the jokes about Dada 5000 or whatever. At least the dude fought till a heart attack.
The second one.
Because. I swear to God, if Dominic Cruz and Faber was a 30-round fight, you'd be watching 30 fucking rounds.
Yeah.
It's not going to end. Not going to end.
No. That's why I'm glad that they set up the numbered rounds. Remember in the old bare-knuckle days? Every knockdown was
Could you imagine putting your VHS tape in and you're like, man, I'm going to go watch Dominic Cruz.
I'm going to need fucking five more VHS tapes.
Right, yeah. And then you put in the second VHS tape. It's still Cruz. You put in your third, still Cruz.
Always doing that. I'll tell you who I like to watch fight and who I was impressed with. And it was from last night is that Tony.
Go ahead.
No, Tony. The Mexican guy with the wings on his back that won the fight last night. Max Holloway.
You were impressed by that.
I was impressed by the fact that with 15 seconds to go in a fight that he has won, he's ready to stand there in the middle of the ring with the guy and trade punches until the bell. He threw his dance, said, let's go, and then they got after it. And Lamas came in there, and he was game two, but he had everything to gain and nothing to lose. Holloway had no good thing could come from that, just a knockout. He could get knocked out, or he could knock the other guy out, but he had already won the fight.
Yeah, I see what you're saying by that. Like, yeah, he could have easily just
danced,
circled, and
he
won the fight.
He could have Fred stared for a fucking 10, 15 seconds.
I hope people get that comparison right there. Yeah. Jeremy Stevens defeated Hinnan. My career's over. Barrow decision. Pretty good fight though. Really wasn't bad.
Hinnan Barrow looks like the guy who took the dishes off my table at the restaurant the other day. He's done. He dropped a weight. He is the guy.
Hinnan Barrow, and I said that this is why I picked Jeremy Stevens, and I continue to beat John at Pick'ems, because Hinnan Barrow is done. I think he's probably more of a mental guy. He's probably like, oh shit, I lost two fights. I'm literally done. And if it doesn't come easy to him, he probably just folds up. So well,
he's a quitter. He's got a little bybee in him.
Right. Well, and it's not like he got pounded out. He just lost the fight, but he's gonna win like three straight to even get back in the mix.
I mean, he dropped weight specifically to fight Jeremy Stevens.
To featherweight?
Yeah. He dropped down because he was fighting TJ Dillashaw, wasn't he? Didn't Dillashaw beat him for the title?
Dillashaw is feather, though. Light feather bantam.
I don't know. Shit. I'm heavyweight. If it's under $3, I'm not even looking at it.
Don't. If it's under $3, Bob fucking Sapp is my man.
Bob Sapp, that's a hell of a man.
If Sapp ain't fighting, I ain't fucking watching this shit.
I make everybody look like Sapp.
Main event, Cody Garbrandt. He's the guy with a shit ton of tattoos.
I better be good at fighting because I'm never going to be able to get a job.
Right. And here's the thing, though. He could stand outside of an Abercrombie and Fitch store and be fine because he's a cute son of a bitch. Like, he's... Just because you have a tattoo on of a skull on your throat don't make you much, you know, less of a fairy. So he beats Thomas Almeida, who had a lot of...
A lot of hype.
He beat him in under three.
It will, in fact, be all changed to Reebok tattoos by his next fight.
Oh, absolutely. If anything, they'll pixelate him.
CGI. The Reebok logo.
Which moves... And do you think you like Garbrandt? Were you impressed by that?
I was impressed with...
Because this ties in the here in a little bit.
I was a little bit impressed with him. Just because I didn't have high expectations of him. I thought Almeida was going to be able to handle him, but Almeida just folded under the pressure like a cheap origami.
Well, and see, the thing is about Almeida, I think I let the... When you picked it.
I did.
And you picked wrong.
I picked Almeida because I thought he was going to win.
But, you know, honestly, if I was betting, I'd probably go that. But I'm not sure if I let other people talk me into that or what, because he didn't.
I didn't know enough about either one of them to make the most intelligent decision, so I went with who was favored by Vegas, because those guys are doing it for money.
Yeah.
And B, Almeida was the name of the detective on The Shield. Those were the two deciding factors.
That brings us to... As of this recording, last night's UFC 199. Gary, did you enjoy UFC 199?
I thought 199 was fucking fantastic.
All right, so we start with Marco Polo Reyes defeating Dongyang Kim. And
didn't see it.
Let's you know, set the premise that John did lose this.
You picked this fight.
I did pick this fight. Dongyang Kim, literally all I did. I mean, he's a name, and I thought he had some good wins, but his record, his record's not all that good, so I just went the other way. But the Reyes kid was 6-3, and they said he lost a ton by submission, and so, like his three fights have been submission losses and stuff. But I still went Reyes.
He won.
But Fat Man on Fights didn't have a good night betting wise on this either. Wasn't bad. Whoa! I'll edit that out.
No. I lost one fight more than you. What was the second?
No one will hear that. Kevin Casey, just coming off father-in-law, deader than shit. He has to fight Elvis Moot. Is it?
I call him Mitopich.
He beat him. Now here's the thing.
I heard it was a draw.
Yeah, it's at first they said it was a split decision, and then they changed it to a majority draw. So really, you got off lucky.
I owe you 50 more cents.
After that, I picked wrong. Lewis Henrique da Silva.
Now you the third fight you got, right?
No, I said Jonathan Wilson. He was big BBC. I thought he'd be swinging around and knocking folks out.
Well, then guess what?
Didn't happen.
I figured it out. I figured it differently.
So I won.
No, I won. I won.
I won. All right. So,
that's
the next fight. So I won.
I won $1 million. My name's Gary Baker.
How much did I win, Gary?
$1 million.
Next fight, Sean Strickland defeated Tom Breeze. And that was a fight when I was... No, I didn't
picked
see
Strickland.
That.
I picked Strickland.
Right. And they said that was going to be a real close fight. That was split decision. Now, the only reason I don't have any...
I didn't see it.
No thoughts on it. I didn't see it either. So...
I didn't get there until...
The fights I started watching was Bruce Leroy fighting a shell of a man.
That's what I got.
Named Cole Miller. And this was the fight BJ Penn got taken out of.
I think you picked Cole Miller, didn't
and,
you?
Absolutely. And Alex Cazares got in there. The only reason I picked Cole Miller is because...
He was mainlining?
And Cole Miller... I think he forgot the memo that this was a fight.
I think he took heroin instead. But I'm going to comment about Alex Caceres' hair. If he's available, I need to dry the sides of my van from just being washed because he's got the biggest hair puff ever.
Alex Caceres came into this fight, I think, with a record of 10 wins, 29 losses, 3 no contests, and all of those... I didn't watch. So
3 of those losses were to himself when he was master.
He lost some fluid. So he beats Cole Miller by decision. Cole Miller had like a little minute or two in there that he could have actually. Yeah, at the end, he could have, you know, stopped one of the most embarrassing losses of his life, but he decided he'll take it. Jessica Andrade gave Jessica Penne brain damage. She pounded this girl out over and same combination, left to the body, punch to the head, left to the body.
Punches and bunches.
Yeah.
And what's her name? Andrade was all over. And what's the other Jessica's name?
Pasta Penne.
Oh, Penne looked like a deer in the headlights.
Yeah.
She looked like she had
high beams.
What the hell is coming after me?
High beams of a 18-wheeler. That, I don't even know, like, if I'm even impressed by that because...
I didn't like her on
I would watch fight. The other girl.
Andrade? Give her a decent... Someone who's worth this shit. Penne was no good on The Ultimate Fighter when she was on it that year.
Doesn't matter. You get on The Ultimate Fighter, you're going to have fights.
I just want to see Chris...
Next fight, Corey Anderson. No, he wasn't on here, but... Next fight, Beneil Dariush.
That dude. He was impressive because he looked like he just rolled out of bed when he got into the ring.
Defeated James Vick.
Oh, well, that wasn't that impressive.
And James Vick is probably still in the bed that Dariush rolled out of.
The hospital bed.
James Vick, who stands up very upright, chin out, ready for anything you want to throw at him. James Vick is 6'8", 105 pounds.
He's a catcher, too.
And he seriously, like I commented to you, he looks like a newborn baby deer.
Oh, he
just like, squirted out.
What's his name? Dariush caught him with the punch, made him look like he was riding a unicycle for the first time.
On ice.
That was great. A good fight.
Vick on ice coming to Sprint Center.
And we don't mean Michael.
Brian Ortega, and this is the one I was heading to John, so I saw the end.
Yeah.
And the end it was not good for Guida.
Clay Guida, in all respect, Clay Guida fought a round and a half of good fighting.
Yeah.
He moved, kept his head moving, and then at the end of the second round.
He snatched.
He started doing the same thing every time the guy would attack. And then Brian Ortega figured him out and hit him with a, let's face it, it was a lucky knee. He threw the knee at the right. It was a timely knee and caught him right in the forehead and dropped Clay Guida.
It's not like he was setting up this knee. He was literally with his hands down just throwing knees. And Guida somehow thought it was...
Ducked into it. He threw a hand and Guida ducked. Straight down without moving, he moved straight backwards, ducked his head down for the 11th or 12th time,
and on the 12th time, it was over.
Ding ding.
And the you know, Clay Guida is just seems like one of those guys that you would have to fight to get into the UFC because he's a cardio guy, he's a pressure guy, and to some extent, he's a. I don't know if he brings a whole hell of a lot of skill.
Ortega's what, ranked 12th going right. into this fight. A guy who's ranked 12th against Clay Guida should not barely win in two rounds.
See, and that's.
Four minutes and 50 seconds.
That's why you got to worry for Ortega moving forward because it's not going to get easier than. Yeah.
Clay Guida's 35 years old.
Here's the thing. Ortega's main thing is jiu-jitsu. He's supposedly a triangle master. Well, Clay Guida, his thing is to take you down and sit there and get tapped. So if that didn't happen.
Clay Guida didn't try to take him down.
So when he fights a guy that has submission defense and is going to strike with you, your dreams are done. I mean, it's... And I mean, I'm glad that, you know...
He tried to do takedowns. He just couldn't take Clay Guida down.
And is this at lightweight?
It's at puny weight. But, I mean...
Featherweight. So he's kind of lucky there because there's not a whole lot of bombers.
Right. But Clay Guida, let's face it. His legs are only like 18 inches tall. He's almost down to start with.
Wears a wig.
Has it tied onto his head.
Flapping in the wind.
Dust Mop Jones.
Next fight was a fight of races. Dustin Poirier defeated Bobby Green. KO punches. Now, the funny part is, and I think anytime comeuppance happens, it's kind of funny. And Bobby Green apparently thought he was a lot better than he was.
Oh, he was pretty. I got tattoos on my head. I don't have to shave all of my face because I got this jagged beard.
He's literally got a beard tattoo.
He has the same barber for his beard as Alistair Sterling does for his head.
They all get together.
They look retarded. Just get your hair cut. Tyrone Woodley.
Who's the other guy I mentioned?
Who'd
I say was with Aljamain Sterling's hair? Oh, Lorenz Larkin.
Lorenz Larkin.
Oh, there you go. I have been drinking today.
The trifecta.
Larkin. So you're lucky I remembered that.
Thin Mints. Thin Mints. The official drink.
Thin Mints. Literally, it's we've started drinking 8.5 hours ago.
I've just finished off my 52-ounce Thin Mint.
But this isn't your first drink of the day, sir.
No, sir. This would be second 52 ounces plus. Plus.
Okay, so Dustin Poirier beats Bobby Green. Poirier is going to keep moving up. I think Bobby Green might be a tough out for some people. He'll probably just be a gatekeeper.
But didn't Poirier come down and wait to fight?
He went up.
He went up.
Poirier was a featherweight, decided, hey, I want to eat a few extra almonds. Let's do this.
But I get 8 almonds a day instead of 6.
Right, instead of 5. You know, it is what it is.
But if the move up let him build a little muscle and make him a little stronger.
The bar we were at was so anti Bobby Green. It was insane. I thought, and you know, the Grand Wizard got up and settled us down. No, but
Sit down!
You know, not everyone can see.
Take that out.
We'll take that out. No, we won't.
No.
Dan Henderson defeats Hector Lombard, and this was fun.
It was a
it
fun
was
fight.
Fun.
It was. It's your turn to knock
I
me out.
I have thoughts.
Oh, well, let's hear some.
So, Dan Henderson and Lombard, we all know how this was going to be, and I mentioned it to you. Dan Henderson, Greco-Roman, great, great Greco-Roman guy. He hasn't used it since Greco-Roman.
Since the Olympics.
Right. Since then. He totally forgot it after that.
He left his
This guy puts what brain cells he has left on the line. He is down to about 50 brain cells, and he's putting them on the line for you guys.
For Hector Lombard. For so, Dana.
So we knew this was going to end probably abruptly.
We were
First round, they both... hit each other. It could have ended either way.
They took turns knocking each other out.
Oh, absolutely. It was, and I thought Henderson was screwed. He was pulling guard. A couple times he was pulling guard.
Well, that one time he got knocked. He was
trying some form of judo I've never seen.
He hit Hector Lombard and staggered him.
Yeah.
And then rushed in, face forward,
yeah,
a la Jose Aldo, a la
Verdum.
Verdum and Hector Lombard, who can throw a punch with anybody in that division because he's cracking. Built like like they cut him out of stone.
Yeah.
And clubs him and knocks him on his ass.
Dude, the thing is, PEDs are still working.
Speed never goes in a slump, but neither does PEDs.
So here's my where it gets into a beef. So yes, Dan Henderson hits him with that elbow. The high kick. Hits him with his first ever high kick.
Oh my God.
Man, he's saw it, but he's just never tried one. Let's try one.
He said he's thrown him. He's just never hit one, landed one.
Remember you throwing him at his wife when he thought she was a stranger?
Last night.
Last night. So he throws a high kick, cracks him somewhat. Then legs grabbed because, let's face it, that wasn't a fast kick.
No.
It's grabbed. Lombard looks at him. They share a glance.
The music swells.
And then Dan, being the shiesty bastard that he is, throws his first elbow strike, too.
Reverse elbow.
I mean, he throws it. Lombard, Sandman cometh.
Oh.
Falls back. And then Dan Henderson, for the seventh time in his fucking career, Grandpa Dan takes his chance to cheap shot up. Out cold motherfucker.
Twice.
And if it wasn't for, I think it was Herb Dean. I think it was Fred Dean.
Fred Herb
Dean. He come in to get rid of the, he would have kept, Grandpa Dan was out for some blood that night.
He doesn't like getting
Dude,
hit.
You were on his yard, and he's pissed.
Get your dog crapping on my yard.
He was pissed.
He said, after I kicked, I was just sitting there, and I just saw his head there. So I just threw the reverse elbow, caught him right above the ear, and that was all Hector Lombard.
I don't mind Dan Henderson, but here's the thing. You watch Mark fucking Hunt knock out Artist. Once he knocks you down and out, he walks the fuck away,
right.
And it is pimp. It is real man shit.
Yeah, because it
what does Dan Henderson do? Because he has a 3-inch dick? Wants to dive on you multiple times. Like, dude, you wouldn't want it to happen to you.
Right.
I get that, well, it can go both ways.
But have you seen his nose? It's Henderson? Happened to him. Dan Henderson is missing like the middle of his nose. Where somebody
He's done this too much, though.
It,
dude, that is a little excessive.
They teach him to fight until the ref stops you.
Dan Henderson was fighting when Ali was in his prime.
Oh,
he should know better than this.
Well, but guess what?
Grandpa Dan, shame on you, motherfucker.
I agree with you. I agree totally. I know you've knocked a man out. I have knocked a man out. You can tell when the guy is no longer a threat to you. And you don't have to hit him again.
No.
All right, and I've seen MMA fighters who drop a motherfucker and just say, put their hands up and say, it's over.
Right, but here's the thing. I've been to a lot of local shows, and local shows, you see a lot of that bullshit. Oh, he's out. Well, shit. They'll have their, like, fucking pink mohawk, and they'll be like, let me pound on him some more. That's not tough. That's bullshit. And if it happens to you, you wouldn't want that. Because if you got kids watching or shit like that, you really want to be just pounding on a corpse?
Oh, look, Mommy, why is Daddy getting his face caved in while he's asleep?
Right. It's bullshit.
Yeah.
And it's not the first time he's
fucking done it. And Dan Henderson's kids were there watching him do it.
Right. Well, granted, his kids are in their mid-fucking 30s. They've seen worse.
He's got two little ones, man. He's got two little ones.
That's his grandkids.
Really?
Doubtful.
I doubt it. Now he's still fucking,
Grandpa Dan.
PEDs work, motherfucker.
You damn right. But no, watching this last night, all I could do is be like, this fucking cocksucker. I'm not a Lombard fan. But I'm, and
it didn't matter who it was.
Right. It didn't matter who it was. Because even when it happened to Bisping, it happened to Bisping, and I was like, oh. Because he knocked out Bisping, and then literally ran 40 feet back.
And that jumping.
Yeah, dude. And Bisping's a piece of shit. I don't like Bisping, but dude, come on, man, dude. So okay,
badmouth calculus.
Paul Harris, who's some more Paul Harris? When he was getting those, he got fired from the UFC for this. He gets a heel hook, and while you're tapping, he holds it till the ref comes and gets him. Right, he's torn out fighters' knees left and right. So they got rid. Yeah, because he holds it too long. Well, why does Dan Henderson get the? I'm dead serious. It's the same fucking shit. Once a dude's tapping, you can let go of that. It's on camera, dude. Yeah. We're at UFC 199. I think there's enough cameras and shit. It'll get sorted out. But, I mean, fuck Grandpa Dan. I hope it, you know, I hope when you're at the, you know, DAV or wherever the fuck you go, when you're getting your cup of coffee or getting your dentures re-cleaned or whatever, I hope a motherfucker does that to you, because that's...
He's waiting for Arnold to come in and say, mobile strike!
You were going to get mobile striked up. So that was just my, that's my rant of the day.
It's valid, because Dan Henderson has a tendency to, he loves to do that dropping elbow on you too.
Yeah. I'm just saying, are you that... That wasn't even like, it wasn't even a hatred fight either.
No, they didn't have no bad blood.
No.
As far as I know, Dan Henderson never has bad blood with the guys.
Well, he did with Bisping.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no, because they did the Ultimate Fighter with each other.
Because Bisping is a fucking mouthy
cocksucker. And to be honest, Dan Henderson should never do the Ultimate Fighter because he never speaks. So, I mean, he's not entertaining. If it wasn't for his occasional H-bomb, because he gets hit with the same fucking bombs.
Oh, yeah. He leads with his face a lot in his boxing.
So I'm just saying, I hope he's retired. I hope he finally got his final licks in because, well, I mean,
he
shit,
should
man.
Retire. There's nothing to do now but tarnish his legacy. Go out on a knockout like that.
Well, here's the thing. I think his contract's up, and that's why he said, well, I don't know. I don't know if he's, like, hoping Bellator will give him a huge contract and, you know, him fight fucking...
Is he 47 years old?
46, 47, something like 45. That. And you know what? There's not...
God bless him.
You know, a lot of... There wasn't a lot of American fighters. He was one of the guys that have lasted so long.
Right.
He's
the Mirko Krokop of America.
Man, I thought you were about done. I was going to say, damn. Well, have fun and goodbye.